Thank you so much for asking me to share. Yeah, just very grateful. Hi, everyone. So, hi, I'm Hayley, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from England, and I live in Hertfordshire. So, I just want to take a moment, take a breath, and bring God in. So, God, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself. And everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience of all these things. Please help me to see your truth. Feeling really anxious here as I'm watching the numbers come up on the screen of the amount of people, but I'm just going to, trust that God will speak through me this morning, and that if there's any newcomers, welcome. You are the most important person in this room. And if you don't, if my story isn't for you, that's okay. There are so many other people to hear as well. So, as I said, I'm Hayley. I came into OA in March 2020. I managed one face-to-face meeting before we went into lockdown. And my life has changed so much. So, if I start off with where I was, so if I just give a few kind of measurements first to qualify. So I actually came when I came into the rooms, I was 21 stone 10 at only 4 foot 11, which I've worked out is 304 pounds to convert it. And today's day I have lost 11 stone 6 pounds, which is a loss of 106 11 stone 6 pounds and a loss of 160 pounds so far. And I thank you. And I'm still working towards a healthy body weight. I still have a bit to get to, because I am literally a height of a child, but that's okay. So the start of my story, I have always struggled with my weight. I have always had an eating problem from I remember as young as 8, to be honest. I was classed as an overweight child. And my parents started worrying about my weight then. But I remember before that, stealing food from the kitchen and going upstairs and hiding in my bedroom. But so no one could come in and find out what I'd done, I'd actually put my back to the door. And I remember my mum trying to get in. And I'd be like, nope, I've not got anything. So my eating just, I don't remember when I haven't used sugar as a comfort. And my weight really did start kicking up. I say, yeah, I have always been an overweight child, unfortunately. And I've always had issues fitting into clothes and using food as a crutch for my emotions. I grew up in a very chaotic childhood, very emotionally charged. I was punished for having emotions. I was told my voice wasn't, to be seen and not heard. So I used food to push down those emotions so I didn't show it because I would be reprimanded for showing my emotions, unfortunately. And so I just ate. And when, as I was growing up, I actually became obese. By the age of 11, 12, I remember starting senior school in a UK size 18 and having to go to a shop in England called CNA because that was the only place I could get the colour trousers I needed to start senior school. And just the shame and guilt and the anger of my mum of, got traipsing around shops, not being able to find school uniform easily. And only being able to wear men's size shirts as well. I didn't fit into women's shirts comfortably at all. And my mum would, I was very much shamed for my weight. My nan would make comments about it, saying how fat I'd got every time I'd seen her. My mum would weigh me on a regular basis and measure me. And it was a ritual basically. She'd weigh me, measure me with a tape measure, and put it in a book in her diary. And ever since then, I, not now, thank God, up until about 2 years ago, I would literally weigh myself daily because I based my worth. My worth was based on my weight because that is what had shown me at such a young age. I wasn't worthy because I was overweight. And I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. So this carried on, and I got bigger and bigger. And when my parents divorced when I was 15, and it was a very messy divorce, to say the least.
15-minute reminder.
Okay, thank you. It was difficult. So I used food even more. By the time I'd left senior school and went to college, do you know what? I don't even know what my weight was. I just know that I remember going on every diet possible. My first diet, I think I was probably about 12, if not before that, dietitians, weigh and pays, the gym. I remember going to the gym with my mum at 14 in the hope that I would lose the weight, in the hope that, they even offered me pound for pound. If I lost a pound, they'd give me a pound. And when I moved out, when I had my daughter at 19, I had free rein of food. I could buy my own food. I could fill my food with my binge foods. But I didn't see myself as having an issue with food because I wouldn't buy in one big thing. I just would eat constantly from the moment I got up to the moment I went to bed. And in between, and if I woke during the night, I'd eat then. And because my daughter didn't sleep for the first 4 or 5 years of her life, trust me, I was literally eating probably about 22 hours out of the day because she just didn't sleep. And this carried on, and I got bigger and bigger, and I was told I'd have type 2 diabetes if I didn't stop. And thank God I never did. But, it didn't matter how many times the doctors told me I needed to lose weight or it was killing me. I didn't listen until we got to, so this carried on up until 2019. And I went, because I was just getting bigger, my depression was just getting worse. And I got to, it was November 2019. I remember it clearly. I went to the GP and I was like, nothing's working. I think the only solution is bariatric surgery. So my GP was like, okay, we'll put you forward for bariatric surgery. And I went to these appointments, but they call it tier three. So tier three is where you go and they try to help you lose weight before you go into tier four, which is the actual surgery. But I didn't want surgery. I just didn't see there was another solution. And then I went back to the GP, even though I was under bariatrics, and went, I just need help. I am at my rock bottom. And they were like, there's a treatment center in your local community that can help with eating, with disordered eating. And I was like, okay. I left it for a month before I made the phone call, and I walked into my local treatment center in March 2020. And part of the treatment center was, it's a community one. I would go from 10:30 till 2:30 once a week to start with. And part of it was I had to come to OA because it was an addiction. It was an addiction center, and the counselors were addicts themselves. And part of it was 12 steps. So I came to my first OA meeting, as I said at the start, before in March 2020, before lockdown. And it changed my life. It was, I was welcomed. I still remember my first meeting, and I heard the word God and I wanted to run. I was like, not for me. But I was, friends were like, Hayley, just persevere. Just keep coming back. And I did. We went into lockdown and all the meetings went online, and I got a sponsor like I was told to do. I started to work the steps, got to step four, do it, And then I got another sponsor, and I just kept persevering. And I thought I was abstinent. And what I realized now, or I realized 2 years ago, was I wasn't. So I carried on a cycle of I'd get to step four with a sponsor. I'd have what I thought was a food plan, 301, but I was still doing the behaviors of eating off my children's plates. And I realized how cunning and baffling this disease really is, and how my head can lie to me so much. Because in my head, I was, because I'd put down the big sugars, I was like, I'm abstinent, it's fine. Yet my meals are still huge. I was piling it on. I was eating the same size plates as my husband still. I was still eating compulsively. But then I had a friend come into the treat. I'd been in the treatment center for 2 years, and I was still white knuckling it. I didn't understand why I didn't have food neutrality. And I had a friend come into my treatment center and do a share, and she's my Ebby. Honestly, she is my Ebby. She came in a shining light and makes me emotional, especially because I know she's listening. She comes in and she glowed. Because actually, I met her on the first day of my treatment center as well. So I'd seen a huge change in her. And she came and done the share and told me about the big book and the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. And it made so much sense. And I was like, I want what you have. Sponsor me. She's like, no, Hayley, we're friends. I can't sponsor you. I was like, okay. But she, you know, she, her and her sponsor just got to step 12, and we had, so her sponsee started sponsoring me. And I learned that I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of mind. And that is, you know, if I ingest certain ingredients, my body reacts, and I have this obsession in my mind. And it made sense because the issue's my mind, the issue's not the food. So as long as I don't ingest those ingredients, I won't trigger the allergy of the body. And then it was, I need to have that spiritual awakening. So we started off, myself and my sponsor started off looking at what my allergy foods are, you know, and I found out my allergy foods are sugar, high fat, white flour. And I put down those ingredients and started weighing and measuring because I'm also a volume eater. I don't know what a healthy portion size is. And then after doing that, I started working through the big book, working through the steps, and getting a spiritual awakening. And that was in February 2022. So just over 2 years now, I've been entire abstinence. And working the program to the best of my ability. So I work the steps. I got the clarity of mind and got the food neutrality that I do have today. But I can only say I have food neutrality probably about 95% of the time because, you know, my mind's the issue. And when big emotions come up, I have those thoughts. And I've learned that I have to rely on a higher power for everything, not just my food. My higher power is there to guide me, to love me. And my higher power is a loving parent today, a parent that isn't judgmental, doesn't put my weight on my worth.
7 minute warning.
Thank you very much. Doesn't put my, you know, loves me unconditionally. And also, my children have their own higher power. Who would have thought? I don't have all the answers. You know, I have to give my children over to their higher power and mine every single day. And since coming into program, I now have a small handful of women I call my God squad that I can be 100% honest to, that I can call upon at any time of the day and go, I need to check my mind out, because that's the thing. My mind is my issue. And I've also, since coming into program, found out I have ADHD. So I am still chaotic, but I now have a reason why I'm chaotic. I don't have quiet in my head all the time, but that's not because I'm not working my program. That's because I just have, my brain's wired differently. And if it wasn't for this program, yes, the weight loss has been amazing, and I can go to theme parks now, which I couldn't do as a child. I can be present for my children. I can do things that I have never been able to do because of guilt, shame, and scared, fear of not fitting into normal size clothes. I fit into normal size clothes now. My daughter and I went shopping a few weeks ago, and I fitted in the same size jeans that she did. A miracle. That has never happened before. To the point, actually, she hides her clothes now. So yeah, I don't go and try them on. And I can be pre yeah, I think that's for me, is I can be present today, and my life still is can be unmanageable, but I just have to put that trust in my higher power, that my higher power has got me, and I don't need to know my path. I just have to have trust and faith. And I always say the step three prayer every morning when I wake up. I have to connect with God the moment my eyes open and be like, I'm powerless. I'm turning my life and my will over to you. Because if I don't, then I'm running the show. I'm in self-will. I do my prayers and my meditation literally as I open my eyes. And this morning, my cat decided he was going to lay on my lap and purr while we meditated together. You know, beauty of it, perfectly imperfect. And since I've been abstinent in the last 2 years, I've had a bereavement, a huge bereavement of my father-in-law, but I've stayed abstinent with the program, higher power, fellows, meetings. And the one thing, my biggest tool that I use today is outreach, because I didn't have a voice, but today I do have a voice. And I just have so much gratitude. And yeah, this program has saved my life. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So I'm going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for hearing me and inviting me today. It has been my greatest pleasure. So